Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. Quick shout-out, Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. Quite a group. I think the first one in the group was Elvis Presley. Great pedigree. We got a great doubleheader today. Lou Vickery returns, the former Yankee and Cardinal pitcher. He's a radio and television host. He's a multiple book author. And then Diana Howell, virtual training, talent development leader, speaker and author, that whole social media virtual video world. Then some bomb guide of wisdom, your emails. Lou Vickery, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, Dr. Bob, I tell you what, I'm excited to be here. It's always great to be with you on your show. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, my most recent book, Winning the Head Game, I think that's from an emotional standpoint where you start, but a physical standpoint, you start with your feet, don't you?
I hear you, man. It's the foundation. You know, Lou hosted a show in the Panhandle, Alabama, Florida, called Lou in the Morning. And for 3 years, once a month, I showed up, the Sports Doctor's in. We would talk about so many different topics in the world of overuse injuries with kids and pushing the envelope and the whole the mental game, the tremendous physical stress, what it takes to be a pro. Lou, give us a quickie background on your time in the major leagues and what you've done in the world of writing some books.
Well, I started with the St. Louis Cardinal organization and was in that organization for 5 years and had a chance to get to spring training a couple times. Then in the winter of 64, I got traded to the Yankees. I went to the Yankees. They had won the pennant and had played the Cardinals in the World Series in 64. Yogi Berra had been the manager. He wins the pennant, loses the World Series, gets fired. And so the guy that was the manager of the Cardinals becomes the manager of the Yankees. So it was quite a switch. But I went there, Whitey Ford had retired, and being a left-hander, I was supposed to take Whitey's place. But Dr. Bob, that old pitch and shoulder injury, they call the rotator cuff, popped up, and during the first part of that year. And so for the virtual, and I guess the best way to put it is my career was put on hold. And in those days, it didn't do surgery. So you just waited it out, but I never was the same after that. But I had my cup of coffee and it was enjoyable. You know, I think back now, look at how these kids today, we had 16 major league ball clubs at that time. You got 30 now. So the opportunity, certainly has been enhanced because of that.
Again, you, and then you went on with great success in business. Again, you've written so many books on all sorts of areas of high performance and success. And again, a lot of it based around what you and Sonny Smith, longtime coach Auburn, does all that play-by-play. Although he must have been pretty exciting over these past couple of seasons where you guys authored winning the head game. And you and I, Lou, talked over those years with the sports medicine side and that whole prevention side. You know, you were down in a part of the country where pitching was year-round. And we started running into, of course, we always ran into the problems of overuse, too much. The better the kid was, the more he would pitch. You know, it's interesting. Then there was one person in the world maybe who threw 95, 100 miles an hour, whoever it was. Now there's five guys on every team. and they're 6'4", 230. So look at Aaron Judge. You know, is it all around? You know, did he just hit his 50th home run? Wow, what's going on this minute? And this guy is like 6'7", 265.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. So the demand on the athlete today, and again, in the world of pitching, where today we see, Lou, Tommy John surgery on 14, 15-year-olds too much in overuse. So those are the things, part of what you and I talked an awful lot about, the area that everybody cares about, Lou, whether they're the coach or the parents or the player themselves. How do I prevent injuries? How do I stay out of trouble? And how do I enhance performance? And, of course, you know, today they did, it's a popular surgery. It's a very successful surgery. Yeah, the rotator cuff like you were talking about. But like you said, you had to wait it out. And the whole was a different world at that point in time. And, of course, this is a gigantic, gigantic business. And we also talked with you a lot about what it took to become a major leaguer and the kind of discipline you needed and all these other aspects. Besides that great book you wrote on growing up in that small town and your best friend. And so how many books have you written, Lou?
Well, I've just finished number 18. And it launches. The previous book I co-authored called Cracking the Rich Code, Dr. Bob made the international bestsellers list. So we've had a lot of success with that book. But my new book is actually what I, for years, trained on, and that is dealing with people skills and how you effectively improve your interpersonal and your interactional relationships. And I want to give you the title because it tells the story. The title is People Skills in the Age of Social Media. And if it ever was needed, I think it's needed now because we see so many people have lost that art of being able to communicate and to interact with other people.
Again, whether you're a parent dealing with your talented son or daughter, or you're a coach or a manager or you're a player themselves, these interactive relationships, of course, are so, so key. And the pressure that the social media world has, you know, just thrust upon everybody in every which way is really, really a part of many times the overuse. You know, and when I co-authored the book, Lou, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and you and I, we talked about the epidemic, you know, in capital letters of overuse, youth sports overuse injuries. We included mental, this pressure, pushing, and that tremendous side of it. So the relationship side, let alone in social media, that's a great topic. What's the website, Lou, people can go to find out about all your books?
Well, I tell you what, this book is displayed at it's called SoCap Life, SoCapLife.com, SoCap Life. Also, I have LouVictoryBooks.com, which actually accents my other books, including Winning the Head Game, which we've talked about. And, you know, Dr. Bob, I want to mention this because I think it is important to understand. You know, there are kids at the high school level and particularly in college that have the skill level that to compete with anybody at the Major League Baseball level. The difference is what happens from the shoulders up, that 6 inches or 6 feet, 6 inches, whatever, 6 inches that sits on your shoulder. That's where the difference is. And one thing you always find out, the higher you go at any level, the better attitudes that you have towards your own skills and to the ability to really be effective in playing the game of baseball.
You know, it's interesting, Lou, and I had a very, very famous sports trainer who's worked with athletes in every sport from the Olympic level and professional level. And now we have a contest once or twice a year on the Sports Doctor, where we ask people, you know, what sport do you think requires the best athlete? And this particular expert, with all of his experience, said baseball players. And I was just really, not that they're not great athletes, but I, you know, whether it was a running back in football or a basketball player running and jumping, running in soccer, and the physical skills as an athlete, baseball players he had talked about was at the top, if not the top of the list, when it came to requiring some all-around, you know, athletic skills. And, you know, like you said, once this talent is taken a look at, and sometimes it's appreciated, sometimes then the pressure gets on these 13, 14, 15-year-olds, you know, that like the Little League World Series, or like, can't complain about it, Lou, because my hometown that I played Little League, Massapequa, Long Island, we made the World Series. We got beat two games, but we made it. What a big deal that was growing up in Little League to somehow get to Williamsport. So I really got a chance to get all excited with Massapequa, Long Island.
How about that? You know, Dr. Bob, I had the opportunity to play in two Babe Ruth World Series. Went to Portland, Oregon for one and played the second one in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We won the second one, and I was the most valuable player for the tournament. But really, that was where my showcase for the scouts. So after that, I 15-year-old.
Right, Lou? Babe Ruth is, my son played Babe. Babe Ruth is 13 to 16, right?
Yes, we're 13 to 15.
And that, again,
right,
when you start really seeing some talent potentially going on, were you pitching then or were you playing other positions?
I did both. I was a pitcher and a first baseman. And in fact, Dr. Bob, when I started my pro career in the rookie league, I did both. I pitched the opening night. I pitched on opening night and then played first base. After that, I hit 900 in 2 weeks, and they shipped me out. And
that phenomenon with that great Japan superstar who the hitter-pitcher, we've never seen anything like him.
Otani? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you know, it's really something to see. And so you're playing in the Senior Tennis League, and which is fantastic. You're back out on the court hitting that topspin backhand. How'd you like this 19-year-old winning the U.S. Open?
How about that? I originally had planned to go, but then I backed off. But I kind of wish I would have, because I would have enjoyed that. Dr. Bob, let me share something that I think is crucial. I've talked to you. I had COVID really bad. After I got back off the tour, I waited. I didn't get a shot. I was going to get it when I got back. I arrived back from Florida on Monday. And on Tuesday, I wasn't feeling well. I went to get my shot on Tuesday, found out I had COVID. And by Friday, I was in the hospital, spent 22 days, lost 33 pounds. And when they checked me out, and this is what I want to share with your audience. When he checked me out, the doctor looked at me and said, "Mr. Vickery, those tan legs saved your life." And he was talking about the fact that I had been active on a tennis court. And I just think it's a great testament. I'm in my 80s. I'm still very active. And I think it's just a great testament that you spend some time doing something physical on that, try at least 3 or 4 times a week, maybe daily.
Yes, and of course, you know, walking's one of my favorites. Walking's one of the, again, now everybody's, you know, we're seeing a lot of pickleball being played. I had to write a couple articles and tell people that pickleball is physical, right?
Yeah.
It's not like playing tennis when you're 80, because you've played it forever, and that allows you to play at 75, 80 years old. That's really, really, really something. My colleague in the radio who helps me with all of this, Noah Perlis, he's an art dealer, retired attorney in New York, but he's a 75-year-old champion sprinter. So I tell him about you all the time, like I've mentioned you to him, again, where we see if we take care of ourselves and try to stay as fit as possible, that you got to keep, you know, that's the new medicine, Lou, on the sports doctor. And the new medicine is, one, eat smarter. Two, keep moving. Three, do things to reduce stress, because rest and recovery is so important. And maybe if we hear it for the 5 trillionth time, we'll catch up.
Dr. Bob, I'd like to offer something to your listeners, okay?
Go ahead,
if they'd like to get an autographed copy of the new book or information on it, just have them go to socaplife@gmail.com. Send me a note, and I'll be happy to communicate with them. SoCap, S-O-C-A-P, life.com, or solife@gmail.com, okay?
That's great. I just saw a post on Facebook of you at a book signing with Sonny Smith.
That's right. We had a big book signing on Saturday. Sold out. It was, I'm glad we were in Auburn. I'm glad we did the book signing before the game with Penn State. Otherwise, we may not have sold a book.
This is true. The pressure all those years, Sonny. Yes, the Auburn had some year in the basketball world. He must have been thrilled. They were great. You know, Lou Vickery, I knew the time would fly by with you. People, please check out his books. There are so many great books. Look him up. You Google the guy. You can find out everything that he's doing. And we want to thank you so much. You are part of the roster, Mr. Vickery. Thank you.
Hey,
hold on,
Dr. Bob.
Hold on.
Always a pleasure.
Hold on,
thank
Lou.
You.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of 2 daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into 4 sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome Diana Howes, virtual training, talent development leader, speaker, author, the whole world of virtual presentations, which have exploded, to say the least, over the past couple of years. Diana, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Great to be here, Dr. Bob.
Diana, give us some background on yourself and your topic of this training and how important it is.
Yeah, well, I've worked in multimedia for years through our own business, Health Associates, and then when the pandemic hit and all of a sudden the whole world needed to learn how to be virtual, we really tried to reach out to all sorts of different organizations to help them be more on-camera ready and develop their online presence, which, as we talk about today with athletes and coaches, could be called on-camera fitness as well.
Yeah, the whole area, again, of that side of education with the explosion of social media, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything that goes with it, the ability to learn what's important about all of these aspects, you know, whether it's I'm doing 40 years on the radio or whether there's so many of the other sides of things in the presentations in your world, whether it's a talent development or brand building, you know. But you had an interesting point where you talked about, again, athletes who are looking for a scholarship, they're graduating high school, they really want to be able to present themselves properly besides taking a selfie. That's become a big topic, hasn't it?
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's about relationship, too. And as you mentioned, for athletes trying to get scholarships or interviewing or even doing all sorts of things related to their field as well, right? So it's more, as you talked about, your decades of radio work, this is the audio and the visual channel coming together in this communication venue.
Yeah, regardless of the topic we're talking about on the Sports Doctor, whether it's childhood obesity, whether it's concussions, whether it's the role of the foot in sports, whether it's parenting, the tremendous attention we pay to youth sports and all the challenges that go into families and interactions, like you talked about, these personal relationships and this whole idea of, you know, the topic even of virtual training. It's an interesting title.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, certainly the pandemic immersed the whole world in doing everything different, right? And training was no different. So now where we are trying to educate others or even doing even physical therapy, right? Some of those sessions were done online as well. So really learning how to use the camera medium in a way that optimizes that communication and that relationship is certainly a good skill to have in a modern day skill nowadays.
Oh, yeah, right, in the world of business, in the world of life.
Yes.
When it comes with so many topics, again, good, bad, and ugly, being presented on virtual media, many of them are educational in all sorts of areas. We do a lot of them in presentations. And I think, again, that knowledge that these are skills you could learn, it makes an awful lot of sense. Again, you know, the coaches who are many times paid millions of dollars a year and are still trying to learn how to, you know, present themselves. Although they must be something doing something right if they got to the position in the first place, right?
Right. Exactly.
So your background, has it always been in this world?
You know, I've been in learning and development and training for decades. And then certainly we have been fascinated by media and media ecology and how that works. And then, of course, the virtual world as well, right? So virtual training and actually on-camera presence and all of that. So really learning how technology can help facilitate what we need to do in the world and how to do that well.
You find an important topic like this is something that the schools, even in high school level or even lower, are interested in incorporating in some of the curriculum?
You know, Dr. Bob, I don't think we've seen that yet, but I'm sure it's coming because, you know, you talked about athletes interviewing for college, right, for scholarships. And I'm sure as we look at students as they progress to college and we look at career centers and as they learn to interact with the world, a lot of times we're finding that that remote connection is what people are using now because it's convenient, saves the flight cost, the rental car, the hotel cost. So even though we can kind of do both now, in person or remote, that virtual is here to stay.
Oh, yes. And again, that whole presentation. What I've always loved about radio, although live radio sometimes is an adventure, you know, someone gets the time zone wrong. You could be in shorts and a T-shirt. I had to get dressed up, you know, for some of the virtual stuff or the video and whatever. Things like that that we're doing, you know, but again, that whole idea of including that, I would imagine also, you know, telemedicine has exploded.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to be desired. I would imagine, again, that businesses, and I would think the medical profession probably is interested in enhancing their virtual presentations. Is that something that makes sense?
Oh, absolutely. And we always say dress professional on top, right? So whatever is in the camera frame, and then it's your choice for whatever is below the camera frame.
You can wear your high heels. As long as you have your orthotics in, then we're happy.
Oh, there you go. As a podiatrist.
Right. After all, we're talking about your foundation and biomechanics world. Now, again, you're very involved in the world of brand building, and enhancing, again, not only the presentations, but the whole virtual presentation of individuals like the sports doctor, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How do people find out? What's the best website, Diana, to find out about everything that you and your association does?
Yeah, so we can be found at www.howellsassociates.com. So that's H-O-W-L-E-S as in Sam and associates plural .com.
Where are you guys?
So we are in the Midwest in the U.S. So we are just about 200 kilometers north of Chicago where you are.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I saw when I saw that. In a place that's even colder than here. Very active community, though. Again, if you're in Wisconsin, and whether it's Madison or whatever, I always found that the fitness community, the challenges of people trying to stay fit, whatever, I would imagine that you've got to be a good sports psychologist when you maybe are dealing in the athletic world, I would think, Diana.
Well, right, and there are a lot of lakes around this area, as there are in Minnesota and right next to us, too, but they just held the Ironman not that long ago, and they held for the first time a half Ironman race as well. So they use all the neighboring communities for both the swim and the biking and the run. But it was great that they offered the half-day Ironman on one day and then the full race on the following day.
Yeah, the triathlons. We used to talk decades ago that triathlons were born from injured runners. Because you would always tell an injured runner, you know, you could ride a bike and you could swim in order to cross train. And it was playing a part of the rehab. And, of course, it became something competitive, let alone the Ironman, which is, you know, superhuman in so many different areas.
Right.
But, again, you know, the positive side of some of this information, again, when it's talking even about educational aspects, that parents need, again, whether it's their young son or daughter who's an aspiring athlete or whether they're looking to enhance communication with the coach. Many of the groups that we feature on the Sports Doctor, Diana, are involved, again, in that youth sports world, which is a gigantic business in so many ways. There's so many different pressures. It's one of the reasons I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because it is a big, big business, and there's lots of pressure, lots of overuse. So many times, again, your world added to education and all of these things that make such good sense, whether it's fitness and wellness, whether it's parenting the child athlete, whereas it's, you know, developing champions, because that's part of what you do also, isn't it? That you're in one world or another, business, this, that, and the other, you're really looking to really develop champions.
Yes, and you know, we talk about it as developing champions online. So I have a book out as well called Next Level Virtual Training, and I have a whole chapter dedicated to this, what I call on-camera competency or video literacy, really learning.
Those are two great terms.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that again? What did you say? On-camera competency?
On-camera competency, right, and then developing video literacy, because it is like a new literacy where we don't know what we don't know, and when you learn how to present yourself well on camera, you're becoming more literate, right, in this new video medium. And video, the video revolution is here, and we only will see more of that grow and grow.
Yeah, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Side of it. Again, the more positive things that are involved, because again, the iPhone cameras and these types of cameras can take just such sophisticated video with all sorts of crazy topics in one way or another. And again, the idea of knowing what you're doing, especially again, if you're involved in a business or you're involved on a team or you're a leader in some way, shape, or form, you're an educator, then it would make sense that you want to learn how to enhance your presentation in as many different ways as possible. And what's the title of that book?
Yeah, so it's called Next Level Virtual Training, but we do have this whole chapter on being on camera. And as you say too, Dr. Bob, it helps develop rapport, likability, credibility, how we come across on camera, all of those things that are important to building relationship in this world.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, what a great show this is. You know, Lou Vickery, my friend, the ex-Yankee Cardinal pitcher from the 60s.
Yeah.
He's written 20 books. And this is his new stuff. His last book was Winning the Head Game. And
sure.
Now into this whole relationship and the whole new social media. You guys got to connect in one way or another. It's such a, again, there's so much different information that needs to be incorporated, especially when we're bombarded with, you know, so many different things in the whole world of, you know, my sports psychology, and Diana, and sports psychiatry friends are very, very concerned about what they call social media mania and all the aspects that have been so problematic on that side. So it's great to hear. I want to talk more about some of the different positive specifics and bullet points with Diana Howell with the video world of branding virtual training. We'll be right back at the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, global
globalschoolware.com. Globalschoolware.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Diana Howes, the whole world of everything from brand building, virtual training, the world of social media. Another great guest, everybody. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you go back years, international, national, local talent, endless array of experts, listen to wherever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, great stuff. MVP Parent Magazine, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, so many different topics and articles. Thousands of followers. We have a lot of education at Sport Doc, DOC Radio. Again, Diana, welcome back. We were
talking about
some of the changes that you've seen, you know, over a couple of decades in these kinds of pressures and the importance of some of these different presentations, you know, and the whole mental side of it and that whole challenge side of it. And so the virtual training, which has exploded, like we talked about, I would imagine is becoming very, very popular again in the fitness world. Like you mentioned, we were talking about triathlons. One of the big things we're concerned about is in the educational world, where we can make sense with some of these different challenges of parenting the child athlete, dealing with coaches, interacting, and bringing into the whole thing all these things that you talk about some of the bullets, Diana. If you were talking to a family of an athlete, coach, of some young athletes on what you want them to pay attention to.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about young athletes, of course, it's really important to have boundaries around their use with technology, right? Because we know that in person, obviously, connection is still so important. So having boundaries for how long they can be on media and what they're engaging with is always important for parents. But one thing we're noticing is, you know, all of our tools and our platforms are getting better and better. And there's sort of this area where when we're first introduced to a new technology, you know, we don't know how to use it or optimize it. And it takes time to do that. Yeah, right? I mean, think about when the telephone was first invented, nobody knew to say hello. So you would have somebody pick it up if they could figure out how to do that. And somebody on the other end pick it up, and then just silence. So they had to teach society to say hello on the other end of the phone. Otherwise, it was just silence, right? So every new medium, every new technology takes time to learn how to maximize its use and do it well.
And what are some of the other things that you find in that particular topic, again, whether it's parents or coaches, to be able to make sure they learn what they're doing? I would imagine, you know, the whole world of online, for instance, we'd be able to learn techniques, everything from the actual physical techniques to some of the other nuances, you know, that the whole virtual training. I guess you could talk on 5 hours about what virtual training means.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about being on camera, which is part of being able to train others online. But when you're on video, when you're on camera, there are certainly techniques that help you come across more effectively. So one example would be we think about angle. So maybe your listeners here today have seen or perhaps have themselves seen where the camera looks like it's looking down at the people that are recipients on the other side. So there's this intimidating posture because they're looming over. What's happening is the laptop is below them, and so the camera is looking up at them. So we would call that a distracting angle. It feels like an intimidating posture. So better to build rapport and credibility to elevate that laptop, raise up that tablet so that the camera lens is about equal to your hairline, and then it comes across as being eye level, which obviously builds better credibility.
All right, we would say the least, especially if we're talking about, you know, in the old days, they sent a VHS tape to the school or the coach. Absolutely, you know, trying to do the best in order to be able to have an example. And I remember lugging around that giant camera and screwing up every one of them. With the kids, with the technology, with the cameras, even then, and then being aggravated that you didn't know necessarily, you know, what you were doing. So, you know, whether if we went to discs where that was sent with information. I think I still have reel-to-reel radio shows, Diana.
Check the box. You got to keep those.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. But now, again, you know, everything online. So that whole world of the presentation and, you know, again, whatever the area of interest is, there was an expert in the world of bullying was talking exactly about what you're talking about, which is they were presenting a program to schools and elementary schools and parents and pediatricians and coaches about all of these concerns with these kids. And, of course, social media was in the middle of all of it. So was mental health in the middle of all of it with some of these different challenges that these kids are being bombarded with. And they were talking about the ability, again, to come up with the proper kind of programming that would be presented well in their educational. If I knew then, I would have labeled it as virtual training.
Yes, I know. Like sometimes the terms, they have to fly around for a little bit, and we have multiple terms. And then usually the one that gets used the most is the one that sticks. You know, I've been doing this for maybe 20 years, and back then in 2000, we used to call it web conferencing. That was the name for it back then. But, you know, you point out, Dr. Bob, this transition. We're seeing this transition from hardware, you talk about the VHS tapes and the discs, to software, right? So that trend of hardware going away, which is something Marshall McLuhan predicted back in the 1960s. And then we also see this, you know, more escalated concern about some of these
what
things.
What do you think of Zoom, Diana? I mean, that whole, I can't believe we used up all the time. Next show, I'm going to talk about Zoom. Give us the website again, Diana, of all these things that you're doing.
Sure. Website is, it's www.Howells, H-O-W-L-E-S as in Sam, Associates, which is plural, .com. And then the name of my book is Next Level Virtual Training, just came out this year.
Such an important topic. We're definitely, you're on the roster, Diana. Have you back. Hold on, Diana. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows. We add a little Bob Guide of Wisdom, answer a few emails. Got a dynamite show next week. From the Pittsburgh Steelers, their longtime neurosurgeon, Dr. Joe Mooney, will be joining us. Really looking forward to talking about the whole world of head trauma and concussions, and we've come a long way, baby. And then speaking about pro athletes, Victoria Radar is a financial gal in so many different ways. But one of the things that she writes about, talks about, believe it or not, is that 75% of professional athletes within 5 years are broke. Wow. So she talks about all aspects of the, whether it's the financial challenges of dealing with your kid on a traveling team, or whether it is trying to be smart after a career. Following week, one of my faves, celebrating his 40th year in Bodies in Motion in Hawaii. What a gig that is. Gilad Jankowicz, long time. Inductee in the National Fitness Hall of Fame, my teammate, one of the lifetime recipients. And he's celebrating his 40th year. So he's returning, talk all things health, fitness. And then a longtime colleague of mine, Darren from Hen Hat Orthotics Lab, will be joining us and talking about the whole world of orthotics. We go way back. He's a real master craftsman. Bob Guida. You know, Bob had a test he wanted to have done, whether the person that he was talking to was a superstar or a grandma, a youngster playing sports, or somebody who was dealing with a recovery. And that was the one-foot balance and partial squat test, with shoes and barefoot. Balance on one foot, and then do partial squats and pay big attention to the deviation movement stability, foot, ankle, knee. So much trouble by weaknesses in these areas. And that was one of the great tests that Bob incorporated. It was amazing. And then, of course, he multiplied this imbalance strategy in some of his rehabilitation, things we've talked about before, instability training. We're going to talk about it now. The first email, Todd says, you've talked about the mini tram. Yes, Todd, we have. We're just talking about Bob Guida, all his instability training. One of his most famous used the mini trampoline. The mini trampoline has an unstable surface, that whether you're jumping up and down on it, or whether you're balancing and catching a ball, or swinging a bat, or coming down and trying to be stable. And interestingly, he'd look at the mini trampoline as a clock. So if you were standing in front of the trampoline and you were looking at 3 o'clock and you stood there with your right foot the trampoline would be constantly tilting you and your whole body, pronating you, into the middle of the tram. So all the stabilizers in your body, balance systems, were being strengthened and exercised. If you moved to the other side to 9 o'clock, the forces were opposite. If you went to 12 o'clock, they were tilting you back. 6 o'clock, tilting you forward. Point being, you were challenging all the brakes, all the stabilizers of the body by creating imbalance, and the tram was a great way to do it. There would be a hockey player in one place swinging the hockey stick. There would be a volleyballer setting the ball, balancing on the tram. There would be a couple tennis players balancing and swinging when people were throwing the ball to them. Great stuff. Ellen said, you know, you talk so much about ankles. We do, Ellen. You know, she talks about the fact that her son's an active basketball player. He's had a share of ankle injuries. He wears braces. He does strengthening exercises. You're already two of the most important things to pay attention to in the world of rehab. Again, of course, it starts with the fact that all ankle injuries should be taken seriously. I can't tell you how many long-term ankle problems started out as something simple and they were ignored. And then that laxity, looseness, the ligaments around the ankle are more like taffy than rubber. So if they're stretched and stretched and stretched, they don't bounce back as well. They become more lax. We could have trouble. Still the most injured part of the body, ankles. This is why one of the exercises in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, that I co-authored with Sharky Zartman, one of the two main exercise concepts is strengthening the feet and ankles. Rubber bands, great way to do it. And working balance, mini tram, sand dune. So strengthening the ankles is important no matter what your sport is, no matter what your level or age is. Every parent listening, son or daughter, should include a good ankle strengthening and balance program to try to prevent injury. Chris says, hey, you talk a lot about figure skating and orthotics. Yes, Chris, we do. My poster boy, 2010. Men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek. He grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He's 10 years old. He put orthotics in his skates. Madeline Stamen, who skated in that fantastic ice show with Cirque du Soleil, probably was 11 years old. So we've been putting orthotics in skates for many, many years, most of the time because there was a problem. Madeline's knees hurt, her ankles hurt, Aaron's arches hurt, other kinds of problems. And over the years, what we were very pleasantly surprised to continue to see is orthotics, when done properly, really make a difference in performance. Not only can they help calm down those sore heels or arches or reduce some of the torque and twisting of the knee, but they really make a difference in enhancing edging, speed, stability, landing. If your kid is a serious skater, look at orthotics big time. This Saturday, I'm taking part again in the National Publicity Summit. Used to be in New York City at Madison Square, or across the street from Madison Square Garden. It's been virtual the past couple of years. It's about 100 attendees. They're authors, they're inventors, they're doctors, individuals in so many areas. Meet the media. Now I'm part of the media. So people will be speed dating me to see if they can possibly be a guest. I'll let you know next week how it goes. Again, thanks so much, Jim Vickery, Diana Howells, everybody. We'll see you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.